April is National Poetry Month, and Public Radio 90 observes the occasion by presenting readings by poets from the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. Russell Thorburn is an English instructor at Northern Michigan University and a poet who lives in Marquette, Michigan with his son and wife. He's the first UP Poet Laureate and also a recipient of a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship in Poetry. He's also an independent manuscript editor and consultant and musician. He'll read his own poetry from Somewhere We'll Leave the World, from Wayne State University Press, 2017.
The Union soldier braces for the cold beneath the tree. His neck roped in these veins, tying him to a chill, and his brown eyes like old shoes want to walk away before his puffed knuckles stab at his mouth with a cigarette to ward off the mosquito onslaught. He touches his almost forgotten color of blue on his tunic, fingers thinking through the hanging buttons. He should have died at Shiloh, but he survived that winter, the fields where the other soldiers met their gods in the reddish ground, some of them bent over in prayer or battle. His brother died with them, and he tries to heal himself up here, 10 feet from the shore, the white caps like teeth for a minute, while he exhales the smoke from his dreams. His canoe lies turned over on the sand, the paddle so worn to his hands, he believes he's stroking across water toward the pellucid mist of nothing. Let me be released. The young man with leaf lines under his mottled eyelids intones to the ache of his own thoughts, rustling above his head, each one a leafy curl of what he has suffered, like miniature boats tended to branches only for so long, until they set sail in the gust of charcoal clouds that want to join his body into this larger shape, over the waves. Woodward Avenue and the bus downtown. The bus driver turns around to say, "They killed Marvin Gaye. What's going on? Nobody listens to good music, and the wipers clear ice from the windshield. But not much of Woodward visible in the ice-battered bus from 100 years of passengers delivered downtown slides across the frozen skin of road. Bumping again, at least 3 smaller vehicles with drivers cursing. Marcellus, the black bus driver younger than me, manages to shout around his lowered shoulder at the visible presence of a white man, older than yesterday now. Yellowed teeth, hair growing like plants out of my nose. My defense drifts past his headbone driving, both hands on the large circle of a wheel that turns us around, the Chevrolet dead on the road. And he's singing, must be singing, I'll be doggone, his tenor voice deeper than a drum, but able to ride a flat tire over the bad notes of, and I'll be doggone if you ain't warm as a breath of spring. A black woman with fiery white hair of an oracle, her pillbox hat from another generation, hangs on to the rope that buzzes for the next stop. But Marcellus ignores that hanging, which would become a noose growing louder when the white-haired fire of a woman mumbles, "Why ain't you stopping?" And a bus on Woodward like the whole Motown era, adrift in time, can't stop. On the surface bone down to an ice, with new snow falling every minute, his grin that does not hide the stubbornness, as if he knew the brakes won't work, shown to everyone in his refusal to listen, and brakes or not, they all go skidding sideways through an intersection, and he won't stop singing Marvin Gaye. At the Los Angeles Central Library, in the 811 section, in my desert hat still, the same black shoes that wandered down the Mojave Road one sunset, I thought I'd last forever. 3 of my books were on the shelf, but I was alone. My son had dropped me off like a father, delivering his son to the library for his education. Ray Bradbury visited another California library every day and found his career in books. He wrote Fahrenheit 451 on a basement typewriter, fed nickels into type, and spent approximately $9 on a classic. I wasn't Bradbury. Nickel-fed typewriters had disappeared like phone booths, and, well, like typewriters themselves. I had come to read, maybe sit at one of the long tables with reading lamps, and write. Mojave taught me to keep my eyes to the ground, for the rattle coils of snakes, footpaths of ghosts, volcanic rock on desert roads, holes rodents dug down to escape the day, taught me to look at the light in its blizzard of heat, to find laughter and anger, my body on fire, it seemed, to watch a poem float by. Happy to be there in history, inside these books, a stranger from the desert, in a sun hat, shoes with sand in them, the same khaki-colored shirt I'd worn for days. Happy to have walked down to the nearest 7-Eleven store to buy a candy bar from a man wearing a turban. At that corner, one could vanish into a neighborhood and never return. Live in a box, saving up change for a hamburger. Every day, hunger would be a mountain, a prehistoric lake bed to cross. In the library, I thought about that 18-year-old boy who had hitchhiked to California in the October that Janis Joplin died, who now stood before his own books and waited for his cell phone to ring, his son to say he was outside, and I would leave behind the evidence that I once lived upon Earth. 3 poetry books, and the 4th I left with the lady at the information desk for somebody named Murphy in acquisitions, whom I had spoken with briefly downstairs. I thought I'd last as long as the Mojave Road, over 100 years, a stranger in the city, and had survived 112 degrees at noon, my shadow breaking under my feet. But L.A. now felt like home. On a bus, headed the wrong way in Watts. Not good at anything. He had written down the wrong address, and as a stranger in L.A., he recognized the only white man on the bus was him. As the old woman clucked her tongue at his color and brought up gospel from her chest. A freight train cried Lord Almighty with its empty boxcars, turning around from his seat, a stage from which to sing out, you know she's waiting, just anticipating. The bus driver worried over this boy now, in a falsetto deepening, knew he had to try a little tenderness and asked if he had any friends where he was going. Behind the wheel he named streets no longer there. A white-haired man sang, ain't here none of them, as he edged forward on his seat. The bus driver repeated what he said to the white boy, who was on his sole quest. He was only 18, in a tweed jacket he had slipped on before running away from home. Now each block brought him closer to the understanding. He must get off, head back, find another way. He wore glasses too large for his face, bangs that never obeyed a comb, his world being a refrigerator where every thought mildewed. The freight train in its frantic cry rose above the nightmare billboards. The soul driver shook his head. I know you got no one. His voice, this engine revving its gears on beat-up blacktop. Better run when you get off the next stop. The boy waved his hand through his refractory hair, stood up from his seat. Lord, let him be spared, said the old woman with her one white eye, riding above her eyelashes. And the boy ran best he could, past the others he imagined, wanting his jacket. Tweed, they would scream, wanting their fingers on it.
These National Poetry Month readings are a Public Radio 90 production, recorded and produced in the facilities of WNMU-FM at Northern Michigan University. I'm producer and host Kurt Hosworth. Thanks for listening.